is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Good evening. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Let's take our hymn books together, please. 259. Let's stand as we sing, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." 259. Seeing you. Glad you're saved. Amen. Amen. We're glad that you're here. Pastor, first, and you come. Lead us in prayer.
To God be the glory. I just want to read to you one verse that the Lord spoke to my heart to this week about, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. We're having a meeting afterwards, a bonfire and barbecue, and bring your lawn chair out back there. By the gym, should have a good time of fellowship, and like to welcome those viewing by live stream. We have Sunday school at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m., worship service at 10:45 on Sunday, Sunday evening service at 7, and then we have our prayer meeting Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Next week, we're having our NETS meeting of the month, and everyone that's involved in this, I believe there's 80 that signed up, did get a minister report that you have to fill out and bring in to your team leader, and then the team leader adds it all up and gives it to us. Things are going well with the NETS program. I was encouraged this week. I went out one day this week, and I was knocking on doors, and I came across a lady, and she said, "I'm so glad you came by here." One of her relatives used to come here to the Sunday school. And she said, you had a group out here last week. So that is a saturation. And I'm the salutation. And then I'd like to get her involved with the salvation program. And it all starts with the supplication. So that, it just worked perfectly. I just love to see that working like that. So next week's our meeting, and we're going to have a word of prayer. Brother Gerald, would you open in a word of prayer, please?
Let's take our hymn books again, please. 465. 465, draw me near, blessed Lord. Let's stand as we sing. 465, draw me near. Good seeing you. You may be seated.
That I might see And the light that shines in the darkness now will safely lead the soul. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rust of sin, He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives about us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. But then my mind goes back to the stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rock of sin, He has shone a light around me that I can clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Our hymn books again, please. 457. 457, more about Jesus would I know. Let's stand one last time tonight. 457. done. That's good. Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I hope that you'll stay tonight a little bit for the bonfire and some barbecue. And that'll be a good time. Now, we're up beside the gym, I understand. And there are some problems down below with ticks this year. And so we're up here. And so if your children want to play down there, that's fine. Just make sure you check them when you go home, all right? Make sure you get all the ticks off them. And I'm sure they would appreciate that, wouldn't they? Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm glad you're saved tonight. Amen. You know, one of the joys of our salvation is knowing that we have the Holy Spirit of God. Think about that. God is in you. I didn't say God is you. That's what the deist would like to say and others would like to say. But God is in us and He will never leave us nor forsake us. What a wonderful thing to know that power and that presence in our life. I told you this week I got hung up on just a little verse in Hebrews chapter 6. And I'm going to read that tonight and think about it a little bit. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "And this will we do if God permit." And this will we do if God permit. Now look up in verse 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit." The Apostle Paul had spent much time teaching the people, the Hebrew people, giving them the understanding of the foundation of the gospel. Repentance from dead works. You might remember a while ago I preached a message about repentance, and I said that repentance is not just about repenting of sin. We need to repent of self. We need to repent. The Bible says, laying aside again the foundation of repentance from dead works. A lot of people are trusting in their works to go to heaven. We need to repent of that, the Bible says. Paul says that's something that's just very foundational to our faith, the repentance from dead works, and we must have faith toward God. Baptism and of laying off hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, all those are important things, but there comes a point where Paul says, let's lay them aside for a while and let's talk about some weightier matters, some meat, if you will. And as if to say, we'll get back to those things and we'll talk about them again, he said this, "And this will we do if God permit." How many of you said something like this? Well, we'll see you next Sunday, Lord willing. We often use that, don't we? Well, we'll see you next week, or we'll meet for supper, or let's go get a coffee, Lord willing. And we're meaning if the Lord doesn't return, or if the Lord doesn't require our life at some point in between now and then, or if some tragedy doesn't strike, or something of other importance doesn't take us away, we will, if the Lord is willing, be there. But I want you to know that I believe that the Apostle Paul, almost more than anybody else that we see in Scripture, allowed his life to be guided in every step by the Holy Spirit of God. I don't believe he took a false step that wasn't ordered by the Lord. There were times where he tried to press ahead with his agenda and the Spirit stopped him. And Paul, in obedience, turned around. Let's pray for a moment tonight and we'll get into our text. The Bible. Let's pray first. Perhaps the great... I had a thought come to my mind I wanted to share. Let's pray first. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, as we examine the Scriptures. We thank you so much for the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. We thank you that you're mighty, unchangeable God. What a great song and what a great anthem to be a part of our service tonight. Father, I need your Spirit's help, and I pray that you'd fill me and use me tonight. Father, help each one of us, Lord, to receive the Word of God as it's preached. And Father, no, it's not because of a man that's preaching, but because it's from the Bible. It's from the Word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, perhaps the greatest testament to the Holy Spirit's leading a life that we see in the Scriptures is the Apostle Paul. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, I can't think of another who followed so closely and so perfectly the will of God for his life. The Holy Spirit obviously predated Paul's conversion. We see in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says that the Spirit of God went across the face of the waters and had a part in creation. Elijah walked with Him and Elisha received a double portion of Him. King Saul experienced Him, and then when He departed from Saul, He rested upon David. The disciples went out in the power of the Holy Spirit and preached and cast out demons and performed miracles. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of the Holy God came down and swept through and filled that early church. God moved and thousands were saved. And one day later, on the road to Damascus, Jesus met with Saul of Tarsus. And He made this statement, Paul, or Saul at that time, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I have to imagine that the pricks that Jesus was talking about were the pricks of the Holy Spirit. As He was goading Paul throughout, if I can put it this way, Paul's ministry. Paul was a Pharisee. What was his ministry? His ministry was to destroy this little Christian sect. This group of people that were followers of Christ and believed in Jesus Christ and were called Christian. It was his job to destroy them. And so with great fervor and energy, he sought out to glorify his God. But all along, God used his Holy Spirit to prick his heart. Every time he would drag somebody out of a home and that professed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he put him in chains to take him back to Jerusalem, he would see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ upon that life. As Christian after Christian, with the Holy Spirit filling their body, bowed willingly before the sword of this terrorist, his heart was pricked again by the Holy Spirit. As he beat some and left others for dead, as he tied some to stakes and set them on fire, as perhaps he had others led away to be crucified, with each and every one, as he heard them sing the songs of praise to their God and refused to bow down to a false god, he saw over and over again the glory and the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit continuously pricked his heart. God, Jesus didn't say, it is hard for thee to kick against the prick. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. God had been working on his heart, and many times over, the Holy Spirit of God was pricking and pricking and prodding him until he got to the day that he was traveling to Damascus. The Bible said he had spent his life breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. He spent his days killing him, but now Christ had caught up with him. Paul's life was one that was radically transformed. The Holy Spirit of God was imparted unto him and filled him and dwelt him. And now he was no longer a murderer, but a preacher of the gospel. And through that transformation, we see more about the Holy Spirit's leading in his life. Perhaps only the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ give us more. I want you to notice just a few things tonight. And we won't spend much time on Hebrews 6 verse 3, for it doesn't give us much, does it? And this will we do if God permit. What Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 3 does for us is it gives us the guiding principle of Paul's life. Yes, we'll get back to those things. And it seems to me, if I'm understanding Scripture correctly, that Paul was getting a lot of questions. They're saying, what about the resurrection? What about baptism? What about the day of the Lord? What about repentance from dead works? And what about all these things, the laying on of hands and eternal judgment? And constantly Paul was having to revisit those things. He said, we'll get back to those if God permits us. We see in that just little statement, in that short little verse of just a few words, the guiding principle in Paul's life. Let me ask you this. Do you consider the Lord to that extent? I know that we pray to God for the big things, don't we? Major life-changing decisions. We know that some of you young people here tonight are praying for a spouse. That's an important thing. Some of you are in a different stage of life. You're maybe trying to have children, and so you're praying about that. That's an important stage of life, an important thing to consider. And some of you are looking for work, and you want to take care of your family, so you're praying for a job, and you're praying for God's provision in your life. And some of you are setting out now to buy a home, and so you're praying about that. That's a major investment. Some of you are getting close to retirement, and you're wondering, have I invested properly, and have I got everything in order that I can retire now? And those are important things to pray about. But let me ask you, do you pray about the little things? But God has given us common sense, and God has given us the ability to make decisions. And yes, I agree with that. But if you at least painted it with a broad brush every morning and said, God, give me wisdom for this day and help me to make even the little decisions, that I go to you first and I understand that I am walking in the Spirit of God as I make them. And sometimes we take for granted that these small decisions may not have a large effect on our lives, but in fact they do. I don't know about you, but one time I have this problem, and if you talk to any of the staff that has ridden in my car, they'll tell you what it is. I get talking and I drive right by my exit. Does anybody else do that? No? I'm the only one? Well, thank you for letting me feel stupid up here. But that's what I do. I really do. I get in the car and I get visiting with whoever I'm with, and we'll be just driving along and we are gone. As a matter of fact, it wasn't long ago we had taken the Lake family. We're here for our meetings in the fall, and we had gone down to Toronto for the day. And most people like to go to Niagara Falls, but they want to go to where there's hockey. And so we took those little boys over there to the hockey arena and showed them around and stuff. And we were driving back, and I totally missed the turn. You know where I was? I was supposed to turn in at Canesville. I ended up in Woodstock before I even noticed. And I turned to Brother Lake and I said, Brother Lake, where are we? He goes, I don't know. This is Ontario, brother. I was lost. I do it all the time. One night in particular, we were driving and we were going to the Cracker Barrel over there in Buffalo. Does everybody know where that is? Now you're with me. Amen. Transit Road. Well, I saw the big sign for Cracker Barrel, and I'm looking at that big sign, but I didn't realize as I'm looking at the sign, the exit's right here. Do you know that on the I-90, there's not another exit for 25 miles? And it's a toll route. And I drove, and I drove, and I drove. It's a bad habit that I have. Driving right by. You know, that's just a small decision. That's all it was. It was just a small decision to indulge myself in conversation and not pay attention. You say, well, it was just a wrong turn. You just missed your exit. It's no big deal. It took me over an hour out of my way. It cost me financially to pay the extra toll. But it was just a small decision. We need to understand that in the morning when we get up, we need to ask God for wisdom. Do you know the Bible says when we ask for wisdom, God will give it to all men liberally? That's not a problem. He'll give you wisdom. He'll ask for wisdom. Solomon was one of the most blessed men in the world because he asked for wisdom. And God blessed him not only with wisdom, but with kingdoms and riches, because he asked for the most important thing, to be able to lead God's people properly. And so let me encourage you to be a person of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to guide every step that you take. Now, I understand that we don't pray, well, Lord, where am I going to put my foot now? All right, Lord, where am I going to... We don't act like that. But we ought to pray for wisdom about every little decision. We ought to think before we act. And by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, we have the wisdom to make the proper decisions in our lives. Let me give you quickly this evening, first of all, the function of the Holy Spirit. I believe that we find in the Word of God that everything the Holy Spirit does falls into four categories. Now, there's a lot the Holy Spirit does. But if it helps you tonight, remember these four things that the Holy Spirit does for us, and everything else, I think if you think about it, you'll agree with me, they all kind of fall into one of these four categories. The first thing the Holy Spirit does, or the function of the Holy Spirit, is He gives comfort. He gives comfort. John chapter 14, I'll just read it to you for the sake of time. The Bible says in verses 26 and 27, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." One of the things the Holy Spirit does is He gives us comfort. Praise the Lord for it. I know there's been a lot of times in my life where I've been at a funeral and I can honestly thank God for His comfort. I've sat beside the bedside of many people that are dying and have died, and I thank God for His comfort. Knowing that you're there to try to help somebody else and to encourage somebody else and to pray for somebody else. And let me tell you this, a lot of times when you go and see a dear saint of God, you go to encourage them and you come out encouraged. You come out blessed. I remember several times going to visit people in the hospital and thinking, what an incredible visit that was, because I come away having been blessed. But that's the Holy Spirit working in their life and working in ours. He is the comforter. The second thing, the function of the Holy Spirit is this: He gives communion. So He's the comforter and He is communion. 2 Corinthians 13 says this: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." The word communion means a deep fellowship. A time of spiritual ecstasy. Literally, that's what it means. That we are so close to God and we are such friends with God that we wouldn't want it to ever part. We don't want to say goodbye. That's what communion is. A lot of things in the Bible fall into that category. When Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," that falls into communion. We have the promise of God that He'll be by our side. The fact that we are sealed unto the day of redemption, that falls under communion. The fact that He indwells us and dwells richly in our hearts, that falls under the heading of communion. I'm so thankful tonight to know that not only is He comfort, but He is also communion. And thirdly, He is conviction. He is conviction. John 16 says this: "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Boy, I tell you what, can you imagine the world today if the Holy Spirit weren't here? Boy, we're in a mess already, aren't we? The sin that we see, the things that are going on that are would a generation ago be unnamed among us. We couldn't imagine some of the filth that is taking place. I learned today that in Fairfax County and in Virginia, which I'm very surprised about, Fairfax County has 5 of the largest independent Baptist churches in all of America. I mean, the Fairfax Baptist Temple is there. They run tens of thousands of people. I mean, they just have an incredible influence on that community. But in Fairfax, the schools next year have decided from grades 7 through 12, they are going to teach there's no such thing as a boy and a girl. There's just no such thing. Are they blind? Or are they just foolish? I mean, there isn't sin in a barnyard like that. It just makes no sense. But that's what they're going to teach. They will call evil good and good evil. It's the foolish heart. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God," and that's exactly where these people are. I'm thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because I cannot imagine where we would be in this world without it. And then the fourth thing is this: communication. The Holy Spirit is comfort, He is communion, He is conviction, and He is communication. Let me give you an example. Romans 5:5 says this: "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." In other words, we would know nothing about God's love for us if it were not shown to us by the Holy Spirit. It's those times where we are in our darkest hour and we are struggling and we are hurting and we are grieving that the Holy Spirit says, "Jesus loves you." And it reminds us of the love of God. Romans 8:16 says this: "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." We are the children. So in other words, the Holy Spirit's telling us, yes, you're saved. Yes, you're His child. I remember years ago that a fellow that had gotten some trouble and he was caught up in sin. And he came into my office and we began to talk. And I said, "Let me ask you this. I said, are you assured of your salvation?" He'd gone so far, I wasn't even sure he knew the Lord. He says, "Yeah." He says, "I am." I said, "Can you tell me why?" He says, "I've got 3 reasons why. One, because the Bible says so." He says, "I've done everything that the Bible says." He says, "Two," he says, I come under such great conviction every time I sin." He says, "I don't believe that would be possible if I weren't saved." And he says, "Thirdly, He says, when I do come under conviction and I do pray about it, He says, something in my heart says, you're still my child. He says, the Spirit of God is bearing witness still. I said, praise the Lord for that internal struggle. Paul understood that struggle. The things he shouldn't be doing, he was doing. And the things he was supposed to be doing, he wasn't doing. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Thank God for his conviction, but thank God that he communicates to us. But as he communicates, and we'll get to our message tonight, he leads us. That still small voice still speaks to our hearts and presses us to go in the direction that God would have us to go. You know, I believe that in the Old Testament, we see a picture of the Holy Spirit when we think about the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that guided the Israelites. Turn, if you will, to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Look at verse 20. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. I think if you look, you'll see the similarities. Both the cloud and the Holy Spirit led the people in the path that they should go. Neither would ever leave them until they reached the promised land. My Bible says, I'm sealed, not forever, but unto the day of redemption. When I stand in the presence of my Savior, I don't need to be led any longer. I'm home. We also see that the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is represented by fire, and the cloud of day became a pillar of fire by night, both a sign of purifying and righteousness. And as we think about that pillar of fire, the people didn't dare move without its leadership. Can you imagine if that pillar of fire was going in one direction and a group of people said, well, you know, I think we're going to go off over here. No doubt they would fall into the hands of an Amalekite, or they would starve to death in the desert, for they'd be away from the men, or they wouldn't be able to find water for a few days. It would be foolishness not to follow after the cloud. They had to watch carefully to see how that cloud would move. When it would get up in the morning and begin to move, they better be in their place and ready to go. You wouldn't want to be left behind. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. We must be attentive to Him as He communicates to our hearts and lives. Several years ago, we were at a church picnic. And we were in a park, Battlefield Park in Stony Creek. And we had the picnic pavilion that day and everything. And we were just having a good time. And we were out there and we were having some preaching and stuff. And we were just having a really good time. And we noticed that this young man got up to get some food in the middle of the service. Well, we didn't think that was maybe a good idea in the middle of the service to be getting food, but we didn't say much to him except for one lady who didn't like anything that anybody did. You ever met somebody like that? Didn't matter what they did, you didn't like it. So he got up and he was getting some food and she thought, well, it's time for me to tell him about it. And she was telling him louder than I was preaching. Amen. She was letting him have it. She says, you've had enough food. And everybody could hear it, of course. What are you doing back here during the preaching? We've had enough food. Boy, she was getting on him. And I thought, well, you know, I understand. I wouldn't want it in a church service for sure. But he's making a lot less commotion than you are, you know. He didn't say anything. He didn't mouth her off. He didn't back talk or anything. But he took a little bit of food. And he turned and he began to walk across the field. And we saw him go over to a homeless man sleeping under the tree. Got down on his knees and they offered him the food. And he came back, and that lady, you'd think she'd be crying, but she wasn't. She was still standing there with her hands on her hips, and she was upset. And she says, now why would you do that? He's not working, and he should be working, and he's healthy. He should get a job. And he just simply said, the Lord just told me to. Boy, that shuts people up. You can't answer. You don't know how to answer that. It's just something the Lord laid on my heart. It's just something the Lord led me to do. Boy, that quiets the critics down. But in order for you to hear what the Lord is saying, you have to be listening. We have to tune our ear to the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul understood the importance of God communicating with him through the Holy Spirit. We see that it guided his steps. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Lady in Hamilton was struggling with her hip. Terrible pain. And I said to her one day, I said, "Do you need a walker or do you need a cane?" She said, "Yes," but she says, "I'm not going to pay for one." She says, "I went and saw the other day that there's several hundred dollars for the walker the doctor says I should have." And I said, "Well," I said, "if it's a matter of not affording it, the church can maybe help you." I said, she says, "Oh, no, no." She says, "I can afford it," but she says, "I prayed about it and the Lord told me if I would just wait, He'd give me something better." When you know, just a couple of days later, she got one given to her. Just as good as the one she needed for free. That's trusting the Holy Spirit. It's not just the big things. He wants to be a part of the little things and take care of your life. Acts chapter 16. The Bible says in verse 6, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Can you imagine the Holy Ghost forbidding you to preach? Forbidding to share the gospel? But hey, maybe the Holy Spirit knew that if Paul went to Asia that he'd be killed. Perhaps they knew that he would be overtaken with some disease or malaria or I don't know what the reasons are, but the Holy Spirit stopped him. He said, "Well, how do you do it?" Just spoke to his heart. Verse 7. "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." Now, didn't the Bible say go into all the world and preach the gospel? Paul says, "That's what I'm trying to do." But the Holy Spirit kept stopping him. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We need to trust Him for every step that we take. Every move that we make and every thought that we have and every word that we speak. We see that it guided His steps and it guided His speech. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual." Paul says, we're not preaching stuff to you that's from our wisdom. We're telling you what the Spirit says. Hey, isn't that more profitable? Isn't that more of a help to you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. The apostle says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were from among you for His sake." The Holy Ghost guided His steps and it guided His speech as it communicated to Him. But friends, if He communicates with us, then we must listen. The title of our message is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 3. "And this will we do, if God permit." Let me ask you this, how do you know what God is permitting? Are you listening? Are you in the Word? Does a still small voice stir you and yet you push forward? Is He trying to stop you? Or maybe He's trying to provoke you and you're disobeying. Let me say this, to disobey the Holy Spirit is to disobey God. For He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God in the Spirit. We must obey Him in all that we do. I'm going to be honest with you. There's times in my life where I don't even understand. Well, go, "God, why do you want me to do that? I just need to stop doing that." My mom used to say, "Because I said so." That ought to be good enough. If God says so, we ought to just do it. Just obey the Holy Spirit instead of questioning all the time because our hearts grow cold. In order for Hebrews chapter 6 to be true, then we have to listen. We can only know what God is permitting if we are listening to His voice in our lives. You say, how do I listen? There has to be a constant state of surrender. We constantly must be keeping our flesh under, crucified in Christ, allowing the Spirit of God to take over and guide us and direct us in our daily walk. I want you to consider the admonishment we find in that verse. And this will we do if God permit. Let me ask you this. Are you only doing the things that God permits? Think about that. Paul says, I won't even offer eat meat if it's an offense to my brother. I'm going to put my body under subjection or keep my body under subjection lest it become a castaway. That means I don't want to be unuseful for God. So I'm going to take care of some things in my life. I'm going to cut them out of my life. Many of you have heard the stories about Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, used to smoke a cigar every day. Now you understand that he didn't understand that it caused cancer like we do today. But as he began to understand the health risks, he said this. He says, the Bible says, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so later in his life, he did away with the cigar, as he understood the health risks. Another thing Mr. Spurgeon did was he drank a glass of wine every night at his supper. He never could understand that there was a scriptures that would forbid that. And so he said, well, it says, be not drunk. And so he would drink a little wine every night. Until somebody looked at him and said, Mr. Spurgeon, you drink in a city full of alcoholics? And he says, I'll never drink again because it's an offense to my brother. We need to understand the personal sacrifice that is necessary in this life. Are we only doing what God permits? What a rebuke. But as we seek out the Holy Spirit, are we doing what He allows? Are we understanding how He is guiding our lives? Are we listening? We say, well, we pray about the big things. No, are you trusting Him for the little things? One wrong turn. What do they say about an airplane? An airplane, if he's off by just 1 degree, over several hours, will be off by hundreds and hundreds of miles. We must be careful to guide our lives in the light of God's Word and in the obedience to the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we, in Baptist churches, we don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit. We want to be called charismatic. We want to be careful of those things. Listen, you're missing out if you don't have the Holy Spirit. First of all, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. You're not a child of God. For He puts His seal of redemption upon your life and seals you unto that day when He will come again and redeem you unto Himself. He has indwelt you and His presence will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the wonderful blessing of having the Holy Spirit. But friends, if you are saved today and you have the Holy Spirit, He wants to be a part of every decision. He wants to be a part of your life. Listen, I got to tell you this. When I got married, my life changed. There was a lot of things that became different real quick. Fellas, I'm going to tell you this. I don't go out and hang out with my buddies every night of the week anymore. I'm married. You understand that? I can never understand that. I can never understand a grown man that's married going out with his buddies every night. Sitting around in a room playing video games or something. Hey, when I became a man, I put away childish things, the Bible says. Be a man. Be a husband. But I also had to understand that when I got married, that my decision affected somebody else. And I got to be careful. I'll tell you this. If I'm out and I'm traveling around and I'm doing something, I'm careful. If I have to be out and I've got to go eat something for lunch, I better not go to a restaurant my wife really likes without her. We call it food envy at our house. But that's just a matter of being considerate. I'm not going to go to the Olive Garden without her. First of all, she'd kill me. Second of all, I don't think that's very considerate. The only place I'm allowed to go is Fast Eddie. She hates it. But we become considerate of somebody else's feelings when we get married, don't we? When we enter into that relationship, we have to say, now, how is this going to affect them? When you make plans, you plan your schedule with one another. Listen, when the Holy Spirit came into your life, you have to consider everything He wants. And by the way, since He's God, why don't you just let Him have the choice? Why don't you let Him take the driver's seat? Why don't you let Him plan the roadmap and have control of your life? But we must surrender to Him. We must be filled with the Spirit of God. We must walk in the Spirit that we fulfill not the lusts of the flesh. We must keep our bodies under subjection and surrender to the greater power that is within us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. Are you trusting Him for those small things? Are you gathering wisdom from Him on a daily basis? It only comes from the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Trust Him for everything. Let me just give you a challenge tonight. Just throw it out there. Why don't you just do it tomorrow? Why don't you just wake up in the morning with your mind set? Why don't you seal it at the altar tonight? Today, I'm going to listen to the Spirit of God. Whatever He says to do, I'm going to do it. Whatever He says no, I'm going to listen and stop. Why don't you do it and see if your day doesn't go so much better? I'll guarantee you'll want to do it a second day and a third. Will you be perfect at it? Not at the start. It's difficult to have your mind set on Him all the time. But would you trust Him? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love and we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for that little verse that we find in the book of Hebrews that we will do it if God permits. God, help us to have that attitude that we will just make sure that we are following You right to the T. That we are perfectly obedient to what God wants for our lives. Father, we'll give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you commit to that challenge tonight? Maybe some will say, I'll do it. I'll try it for a week, preacher. Some of you might say, I've been trying it for a long time. I've been working at it. Would you pray for another? Would you learn to trust the Holy Spirit and allow Him to guide you in your life? Maybe there's one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have that Spirit of God in your life because you've never been born again. We'd like to help you with that tonight. Take a Bible and show you what it means to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Is there one that say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure what would happen if I die. Would you pray for me? Is there one? God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. You may be seated. Hope that you'll stay with us tonight for a few minutes of fellowship. Pastor McDonald's going to come with some announcements and close our service with a word of prayer. And then we're going to meet over, if you have a change of clothes or whatever, but we're going to meet and have some bonfire and some barbecue and all kinds of good things. There's so much good stuff going on that something's bound to please you. All right? So come and enjoy yourself.
Pray for them. Pray for them. They are just, I mean, that area of the world has just been rocked literally with these earthquakes and that, and they need our prayers, and they continue on. And so a lot of things, a lot of opportunities. The pastors just mentioned tonight, there's a lot of opportunity for that family. And we have other missionaries in that area and in the northern part of India that are able to minister and use as an excuse, not as an excuse, but as a reason to get into where normally they couldn't. And so souls will probably start listening to them as they're helping them. And no doubt there'll be people saved even in that tragedy. So please send them a line and pray for them. On the inside of that bulletin, I just want to announce again that this Wednesday night we have a play put on by Bethel Baptist Academy students, and it's Limerick the Leprechaun, 7 o'clock. Please come out and support the students as they put a lot of work into that. Also down below there is Master Clubs, and in the, we need kitchen volunteers, and we need those who can serve during that banquet, and that's on Thursday, May the 28th. There's a sign-up sheet in the hallway. Please be a part of that as well. Master's Clubs has been doing very well. We're winding up. Let's finish on a really high note, on a good note there. And then also on the inserts that you got there, the one where it says the junior church class is in need of stickers for crafts and cards that they're going to be making. So if you've got stickers, please see Mrs. Fury and Mrs. Fett regarding those things. A lot of things happening. We're going to be an active church this summer. That's just the way it's going to be. We're not going to die out like other churches do. We're going to go for the Lord. So let's finish off the spring season really well, and then let's get ready for the summer and praise our God. Because God doesn't sleep on us. He's always there for us. So let's not fall asleep on Him. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be in Your house tonight, Lord. I thank You so much for the teaching of the ministries, those four main categories of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we realize those are gifts. Those are gifts given to us because of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be under the direction, the leadership, the comfort, the conviction, in all those ways that the Holy Spirit provides for us. We thank You so much for Your love, for Your tender mercies that You extend to us. And Lord, I pray for those tonight, Lord, maybe they're not feeling well, maybe they're in some turmoil in their life, and Lord, You know, the Holy Spirit knows, and we don't know all things, but He does, and we just pray that You'd comfort them and be there in a real meaningful way. Father, bless the barbecue now to follow, and bless the food, Father, and the fellowship, and we thank You again for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You are dismissed.